tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Live today in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at East River 9, located within a mile of downtown. I think it would be a good time to see this abomination in person.
That wasn't nice, Spencer. That wasn't nice. I look very handsome today. Very dapper here at East River 9. Usually the best view of Houston skyline. It's a little cloudy, a little rainy. Come on out, though. We're hanging in the River House. I cannot wait for my crispy hot bird sandwich. So good.
I think I'm also going to get a crispy hot bird sandwich. Is that
what comes most recommended from
this is what I most recommend. I'm sure that there's other things on this menu, which is a very good food menu here. I'm sure there's some other things that maybe that floats your boat, but like there's a brisket taco, there's a snapper, but the crispy hot bird, I love that sandwich. I get it every single time that I come here. So come on out. We're going to be here all day long. Conrad Beard coming up next here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Being authentic is important if you're a quarterback. I think you got to establish that you're real with your teammates because they will respect you more. If you're a great player, it doesn't ultimately matter that much. You don't necessarily need to make everyone around you like you, but it certainly helps to earn respect with your teammates, to make them like you or love you if you're real. CJ Stroud strikes me, for now, as very authentic. Obviously, we have seen in the past that sometimes quarterbacks we believe to be authentic, Deshaun Watson, maybe aren't so much. But we've also seen here in Houston quarterbacks like Brock Osweiler, who clearly read a manual on how to speak to human beings before he goes up to the press conference every single time. And he did have, I think, a speaking coach. Hey, at the very least, he's doing color commentary on ESPN from time to time.
Worked out. Made a career.
That's true.
He made speaking a career.
He called a Rice game this year, and we wish him well. But here's CJ Stroud at a press conference yesterday, and he says he doesn't believe in the rookie wall.
I don't believe in stuff like that. For me, like, my mindset ever since I've been a kid is, like, what's next? Like, how can I keep improving? How can I keep going? So I'm not trying to sit up here and act cool like I'm perfect. Of course, like, I get tired. I'm fatigued. Like, I'm tired sitting up here right now. But, like, I'm going to just keep going because I know it's bigger than me, you know. So I believe, like, there's only a wall if you allow there to be in your mind. So I don't allow myself to take a shortcut or have a day off or have an off day, like, that just doesn't fly with me. I think you're uncommitted or unmotivated if that kind of happens. This is what I asked for. It's what I signed up for. I don't feel bad for myself. I'm blessed to be in the position I am. And like I said before, it's not easy, but anything great in life isn't going to be easy.
Doesn't believe in rookie walls. Does he believe in walls? 713-780-3776.
Why build walls?
Is CJ Stroud saying you don't need to build a wall to the north to block all those Canadian pigs? What? No, there's like invasive Canadian pigs.
I remember.
Yeah. No, there's another. There's another more? Breed of invasive Canadian pigs.
Oh my god!
All right, we got. I mean, people talk about the, you know, the wall of the South. Can we got to stop these Canadian pigs?
Oh, there's caravans of these pigs coming from the north.
You know, listen, you know, a couple hundred years from now, they might evolve and kill us all. They gestate
like
so
Planet
damn
of the Apes.
Yeah, and Planet of the Pigs. Planet of the Pigs.
I like Planet of the Apes better.
But look, C.J. Stroud. You hear that. I actually think he's broken through his rookie wall already. We saw that couple of week stretch where he was struggling after the first couple of games of the season. And I think it sort of shows you just how quick his progression has been. Like, he struggled for a couple of weeks in a row, and now all of a sudden he's looking great. And out there on Sunday, he was essentially doing playground stuff, which led to DJ Bien-Aimé and I disagreeing over whether or not Lawrence or Stroud had a better game on Sunday on Tuesday's show.
Check out the podcast for more on that argument.
Pogalacho, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. But C.J. Stroud, I believe him when he says that. I believe that he does not believe in a proverbial wall. Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos have Russell Wilson as their quarterback. I do not believe Russell Wilson to be authentic in any way, shape, or form. Now, part of that has to do with the fact that I covered him in Seattle. Russell Wilson press conferences are torture. They are torture. The master of saying nothing in a lot of words. You think Nick Caserio's bad? Well, imagine Nick Caserio doing all of that with like an excited little pant in his breath, but in more words. Just reeking of phony positivity.
That's the worst part for Russ, for me as an outsider, just again seeing some of his press conference work is the like chipper nature of it.
Which is a shame because he once was a great quarterback. I think he could have argued he was the second best quarterback in the NFL in 2019 and in the first half of 2020. I love watching him play, at least a couple of years ago. But now, he just turned 35 yesterday. He has been the epitome of seeming fake for a while. You've probably heard the catchphrase that he was trying to establish when he joined the Denver Broncos. He no longer says this after how much of a disaster last year with Nathaniel Hackett was, but in case you forget it, this was Russell Wilson's catchphrase last season.
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Forgot about the last one.
Listen, let's ride. It was a good slogan.
And then he would end, much like Coach O at LSU, saying, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
He would end all of his press conferences or his interviews with, he would end it with let's ride in
right.
Denver.
And in Seattle, he would end his press conferences with, go Hawks. He had to have a catchphrase at the end.
It's just exhausting. Just an exhausting person.
Imagine covering him every single day.
And he's the franchise quarterback.
During an offseason where there are trade rumors that he has created through his agent but won't sign his name on it and just plays like, I don't want to trade. I love it here. It's great here.
But if I did want to trade, I would want to go to the Bears,
Saints, the Raiders, and some other team. Yeah, exactly. So this isn't the only moment where we've heard Russell Wilson being a goober. This was Russell Wilson describing his alter ego, Mr. Unlimited.
I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell him.
So, yeah, he's a goober. But this is harmless, right? All of the you've heard right now, it's just harmless and corny.
These are just those, especially the last one's a pretty standard
inspiration TikTok.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
The hustle TikTok and motivational TikTok, there's far worse than that. At least that's kind of unintentionally or maybe intentionally funny. But the problem is that Russell Wilson is someone who is apart from the rest of that roster. And when your play starts to deteriorate, people start to turn against you. And you saw it in Seattle very early on. Many teammates were convinced that Pete Carroll gave him preferential treatment to the point that Richard Sherman used to constantly swear at him and yell at him. In practice, they believed that the Malcolm Butler interception in Super Bowl 49 was a result of Pete Carroll wanting Russell Wilson to be the hero of that game, not Marshawn Lynch. Speaking of Marshawn Lynch, Marshawn said that Russell Wilson never had his number and that he never had Russ's number, and that one time when Russell Wilson called him, it was from a blocked number. Just Google Richard Sherman and Russ. There's a rumor that wasn't in the open when I was in Seattle, but I knew about, but now it is, thanks to a podcast that he was on. There were rumors that Golden Tate had an affair with Russell Wilson's first wife, the one that went viral for her big old mouth during the NFL draft back in 2012, while they were married in 2015. And the rumor was that that was why the Seahawks didn't resign him. Tate has been adamant that that did not happen, and it never happened. And he claims that his current wife and Russell Wilson's ex-wife are, like, still really good friends. I don't know what happened here. All I know is that Golden Tate and a lot of Seahawks teammates hated that Russell Wilson never said that those rumors were BS. They just sort of let them marinate, and I think it might have been because his teammates think it was because, like, he wanted to seem like a victim because his wife was cheating on him or something like that. So he loves listing his teammates whenever he is asked about, like, his own personal play. But then in 2019 and 2020, he started talking about his legacy, and it turned off a lot of players in the Seahawks locker room. And you see stuff from him creating all those trade rumors through his agent without signing the name on it. But there's other stuff, too. Like, as small as, there was a story that went viral about how when he went to Mexico, he taught DK Metcalf how to swim. No one was more annoyed with that story coming out than DK Metcalf. Like, DK, I remember I asked DK about that on a radio interview that we did with him, and, I mean, I could hear his eyes rolling when he said, like, oh, yeah, that didn't, yeah, yeah. And then I asked him, well, would you let him teach you anything else? And then he said, next question. And I said, like, okay, that's all I need to know. So he's always been like this, and that lack of authenticity, I'm glad C.J. Stroud has it, but it's remarkable the way that it is with Russell Wilson. And if you think that's bad, guys, I have some investment opportunities for you. Investment opportunities courtesy of Russell Wilson. Plus, Cowboys are playing really well right now. We'll talk about that. And an all-time take about why Dak Prescott is screwed the rest of this season. Paul Galancho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling!
You're back inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at East River 9 and joined by our ambiguously hetero host, Paul Gallant.
Couple of texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. From the 747, it's Key from L.A. Paul, you're gossipy now. You're turning the show into the Real Housewives of 97.5. That's what sports talk radio is. Just, it's gossip for guys. That's centered around sports.
Oh, you're so effeminate talking about gossip.
No, I just think Russell Wilson is perhaps one of the vaguest players in recent NFL history. He's given some stories about it. We'll talk about him a little bit more in just a moment. Another text. This is from the 832. Paul, did anyone show up at Russ's birthday party this year? Sean Payton, perhaps. I bet it was a private affair. I don't think that there are many people that play with him that he considers close to him. And I do wonder about who actually is in his circle outside of his agent, Mark Rogers, and his wife, Ciara. Anyway.
His kids.
Sean, Russell Wilson's got some investment opportunities. And I want to know what you think about these.
Is this like a Shark Tank type situation?
It could have been, but never quite got that far.
He should be on Shark Tank with Mark Cuban leaving. Russell Wilson sitting there with his fingers making a little temple.
I don't want Russ to greenlight things. I want Russ to make pitches for everybody.
Okay, let me hear some of the...
Russ doing infomercials or commercials, that is something that I really want to see.
On the QVC?
Or basically, like, you know, Space City Home Network for, like, most of the mornings,
when there's not a game on.
Before they put the reruns of the game on. So, Russ invested in something called recovery water. He claims it helped him come back from a concussion that he suffered in the 2015 NFC Championship. It's a $3 a bottle concoction that had nanobubbles and electrolytes. Supposedly, it helped people recover quickly from workouts. But Russell Wilson took it a step further and said it helped players recover from injury. So, remember the NFC Championship game against the Packers in 2015? I know Joel Blank does.
Oh, yeah. Big comeback.
Right. Epic choke job by the Packers.
Or epic choke job by the Packers.
Russ threw four interceptions in that game. They had no business winning.
Hey,
but anyway.
Trevor Lawrence of his time.
Said Russ, I banged my head during the Packers game in the playoffs. The next day, I was fine. It was the water. His agent, who was sitting next to him as he did this interview, said, well, we're not saying, we have real medical proof. But Russ shook off Mark Rogers and said, I know it works. Soon you're going to be able to order it straight from Amazon. I wonder if it is on Amazon. He, the next day, was asked about it in a press conference. What I was trying to say, that I think it helped prevent it. I think your brain is consisted of like 75 to 80% water. I think that being hydrated, drinking the recovery water, really does help. No, I did not have a concussion. I was saying that I had been consistently drinking the water for a month, month and a half, 5 to 7 times a day, and I was like, man, maybe this stuff is helping me out. So it's one of those things that I truly do believe it helps with recovery. He also once said that recovery water helped a player recover from a leg injury. So, like, actual snake oil salesman Russell Wilson, it ain't past life.
It doesn't look like recovery water is available anywhere on, least on Google when you hit shopping.
Some people are asking if there's hangover water, if it's available anywhere. No, it doesn't have anymore. Here's another thing you could invest in. I don't know if you can still get this. It's called Eat the Ball. Eat the Ball.
Ball is life? No. Ball is food? Yes.
Sean, it was football-shaped bread. It was like bread that was shaped like a football.
Like rolls?
Yeah, but it was shaped like a football.
But football-shaped rolls.
And you could buy it in a box. Which is exactly how I want my bread.
Yeah, boxed. Please, boxed.
Boxed bread. You want to hear his explanation for this?
It's bread, but football-shaped?
No, it's not that. Amazingly, you would think it would be as simple as that.
You know Dino Bites? We did that with football and bread.
No. This is something else, man. The thing that got me, said Russ, to eat the ball and really understand and gravitate towards the program, it's not just athletic balls for the kids or the people just in general to tailgate. It's also an education purpose. The education purpose of there's an earth ball, so it has all the 7 continents. So imagine a kid goes up to a line and he's grabbing that piece of bread. Rather than just grabbing a normal piece of bread, he's grabbing something that can trigger his mind to think about the continents of the world. What city is where they want to go. Eat the ball. It's changing the game for food for kids, for people all over the world. It's huge in Europe now, and we want to bring it to America. So a football-shaped bread was huge in Europe.
No, it sounds like a globe-shaped bread. Like, with continents on
it. It's shaped like a football. It's shaped like a football, though. You're right. He's talking about the shape of bread like it would be an Earth-shaped sphere, as if a football is going to remind a child of the globe and where the continents are. Sean, none of this makes any sense.
I thought it was like an old product where it's like, you know these globe breads that they have in Europe? For America, let's have them be, instead of the world, blah, no, American kids don't want to know about that. They want to know football bread. But no, it's somehow even stupider than that.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I got to give him credit. Like, the guy has tried to sell some things. And
how does he have, like, two crappy, like I don't even know what you call these. Like, just,
what, the concussion water and eat the ball?
Yeah, how does he have – how did Mark Rogers, his agent, allow two of those
things? I'm glad you asked that question. So very often you will hear an athlete who's made a lot of money claim that they are also a business person because they invest money in something. Let's be honest, a lot of investments do not work out, both for players and for the average just regular citizens. But what's funny is athletes will constantly pat themselves on the back. Take Dez Bryant this week, because they have money and have invested it in other things and say, well, I'm a businessman. I'm a business owner. That doesn't mean you're successful. And I think very often these athletes expect us to just say, oh, well, he invests money. He owns businesses. Wow. No, no. Some people that played sports, don't get me wrong, are great with their money after the fact. Some are great. Like, I know some in town who have done a great job. But it's not everyone.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are going to be taken advantage of. And it's clear with Russell Wilson, he was taken advantage of at least twice. With one, recovery water, which prevents concussions and helps you recover from injuries. And two, eat the ball, which again is football-shaped bread in a box. Sometimes these guys get duped, just like all of us. Doesn't mean they're idiots or morons, but I hate it when I hear an athlete like brag about how since they have money, they're like a businessman because of that. Like, doesn't mean you're a successful one. And the implication is you're a successful one by saying, I'm a businessman. It's full of bleep.
It's also, I mean, you're starting with, like, just, you start by playing football. You are really good at football. You're one of the best probably ever to play football if you're one of these guys. And then you get paid millions of dollars to play football.
Right.
And then you use those millions of dollars, which is smart, to invest, to set up your future and stuff. But you can diversify enough to where if a couple of them hit, you can be like, I'm a businessman. Whereas, like, a normal, you know,
that's why
a normal person doesn't
have... But a normal person can't diversify.
Doesn't have an NFL contract worth of money to diversify
with. Like, if we have money to play with, we all could theoretically be successful businessmen. The problem is we need the effing money.
Yeah.
So it's I get annoyed when athletes brag about being, like, a business person. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We did promise an all-time take on why Dak Prescott is bleep the rest of the way. Also, are the Astros about to look like pores while an old rival starts flexing and walking around like they are a successful business person, Russell Wilson style? We'll talk about that next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened?
On the Northern Bank of Buffalo Bayou, you'll find the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at East River 9 and its current occupant, Paul Gallant.
This concerns me a little bit. It looks like the New York Yankees are about to go old school again. And it's just a rumor, but doesn't this concern you a little bit about the Astros' child, the Yankees of New York? Here's a report. Talks between the Yankees and San Diego Padres about a Juan Soto trade have progressed to the point of exchanging names on players, league sources say. San Diego's initial ask was very high. The teams are not close to an agreement. While the exact names are not known, the Padres are said to be looking at top prospects and rookies like Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe, young major league pitchers in Michael King, Clark Schmidt, blah, blah, blah. The Yankees recognize Soto as a perfect fit for their needs and are determining what they would give up for a one-year rental. This is old-school Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's less about – well, it's a little bit about Soto the player, because Soto's a really good player. I don't think Astros fans really need to be reminded too much about how good
he is. Well, he's not 21 anymore, so now
– no.
Now we won't
is
have
he over
to
the
deal
hill?
With that.
Is he over the hill now that he's 25? I do I do think it speaks more to if this is something that they're going to be far down the road on, you know, working through. I think the thing that you should be worried about is like the attitude shift from the Yankees,
right? Because we haven't seen that for a while. Like, we've seen them just sort of say, "All right, well, we'll just do this next year."
Yeah, and it's always like let the young guys kind of come up, sign Garrett Cole, or they traded for Stanton, and sign kind of ancillary pieces around that. But mostly, they're just trying to keep their own guys. And if they start going out and spinning like the New York Yankees again, I do think, I mean, obviously it's a high risk, high reward thing. You saw with the team that Soto's coming from, the Padres, how it can go wrong. You saw with the Mets how it could go wrong. But ultimately, whatever the Yankees are doing right now isn't working, and that's what you want to keep happening.
Yes.
So them changing the plan is a bad thing for the off chance that it works.
Correct. 100%. And now you juxtaposition that, or compare and contrast that, with what the Houston Astros are doing right now. Because the Astros, it sure seems like they're not going to be aggressive at all. And again, okay, they're operating on a budget, they're being smart, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you take a look at some of the bad contracts. It's $118 million or so are going to guys like Lance McCullers, Justin Verlander, Rafael Montero, Jose Abreu, among others, Ryan Presley, over this coming season. And you're like, oh, well, that's not good. But the Astros, at least based off of a report by Brian McTaggart yesterday, before they go to winter meetings in Nashville? Oh, man.
Nice.
Let's go. But the Astros will be in search of relief pitching and catching help. Dana Brown said the focus will be reinforcing the bullpen, as well as finding a backup catcher with Yiner Diaz set to take over as the starter next year. I'm not saying the Astros need to make a splash for the sake of making a splash. I just think it's a bummer to see that, yeah, we need bullpen depth. Yeah, we need a backup catcher compared to the Yankees saying, F it, Juan Soto for a year.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, I guess we'll see the situation with Michael Brantley, but I can't imagine, that he would come back and be a major contributor, so that's another kind of like part-time player that you're signing. So that opens up a spot, a corner outfield spot that maybe needs to be addressed, and then that just does not seem to be in their plans whatsoever.
No.
And so that also is a little bit troubling. I get the trying to retool the bullpen. I do think that's like kind of what you should do with bullpen arms, because they are so hot and cold that, I mean, obviously we know with the Montero contract that's like you kind of don't want to pay these guys super long money.
Exactly, yeah.
So I get in that way. Also with the GM meetings or the winter meetings being in Nashville, my biggest hope is that we just get a picture of Dana Brown wearing a cowboy hat.
Ooh.
I just feel like he's the type that would be like,
he's going to wear cowboy boots?
Yeah,
go
to Dolly World.
Dana, get one bootcut jeans. Don't wear your boots with the jeans tucked in them. I've never done that. But I did have skinny jeans once, and they didn't like quite fit around the boots, and it looked goofy. And also, until very recently, the bootcut jeans I had were too short. Mm. So I forget what they call that. Like waiting.
High waters.
High waters, yeah. I was high watering it. Don't do that.
Don't
be basic.
Yeah, some tips from
I do want to see a Dana
Cowboy
Brown.
Cowboy Paul Gallant.
Can we get a Dana Brown selfie in front of like the butterfly mural?
Yes.
Wearing some white boots, like with one leg forward, and maybe some, you know, I don't know, like Detective Dangle short shorts from Reno 911. Why not?
I just want Dana Brown to go full basic Nashville trip.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. I got to go to Nashville someday. I hate Titans fans and the Titans as a whole, but I got to go there.
You'll have a bachelor party or something that goes there.
That'll probably be where
one
it
of
is,
these days.
If it ever happens.
One of your friends is going to get married for the fifth time again.
Hey. One of my friends is getting married for the second time this weekend, okay?
Yeah.
Just the second time, okay? Anyway, Paul Gallacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Look, we talk about the Dallas Cowboys for ratings from time to time. It's time for another very quick episode of Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
We're playing with the boys, and we're doing it for ratings. That's what we always do it for, just for ratings. Don't get mad at us, guys. We have bills to pay. So you might not be aware of how good Dak Prescott has been of late, but Dak is killing it. Here are some of the numbers that Dak Prescott has been tops in the NFL in over the last couple of games, and actually over the whole season. First in QBR against man coverage, first in QBR against the blitz, second in QBR under pressure, second in QBR from the pocket, first in QBR outside the pocket, first in QBR on third down. At 80.7 QBR since week 6, no one else is over 68. Bill Barnwell writes, he's been comfortably the best quarterback in football for half of a season now, and he might be the MVP frontrunner. He also might be bleeped. How many people are aware of Fox Sports' Craig Carden? Craig Carden had an all-time take about Dak Prescott when he found out that Dak Prescott is expecting a child during March.
Dak Prescott will be a father soon in March. Congratulations, Dak Prescott.
That's a mistake.
My point to it all is, at the end of the day, it comes down to beating the Philadelphia Eagles.
Why'd you tell me that? That changes everything.
Why? What does that change?
There goes the Cowboys season.
How do you do that?
No, they just announced the pregnancy.
Are you not a fan of fatherhood?
I am a big fan of fatherhood. I'm blessed with four beautiful, healthy children.
So.
You have beautiful kids. You guys have kids
as well. Have kids out there.
This is a terrible distraction now. For Dak Prescott.
How?
He's not married, right? So now I got to question, is she a gold digger?
No.
She might not be. I got to question it, right? Number three, you got everything going great. The last thing you need now is the distraction.
Shoot or shoot. What are you going to do? He's having a baby in March.
I hope they have a beautiful, healthy child.
And he's winning, by the way.
I hope it all works out.
It will.
But this is not what Cowboy fans want.
That is an all-time take by Craig Carden, who won. Went to jail once. Two, Syracuse graduate. He is the most famous person that worked at the radio station that I worked at. I thought you were going to say the most famous Syracuse grad that's gone to jail. Well, he's the most famous Newhouse grad who's worked in sports media and gone to jail. That's for damn sure. I can't believe that they let him back on. Like, that's not even a funny take.
No,
it's basically what a mistake. He's having the baby in March. Like, that's a real football guy.
That's
a real football guy. He knew that he needs to have his child during March or later. See, if I ever have a kid, that's what I'm doing. I ain't having a kid in football season. Are you kidding me?
Is that a Paul Gallant promise?
That is a Paul Gallant promise. I won't do it in football season. No.
I like that.
Well, listen, my job is my job. Like, I'm always here for football season.
Your job is definitely your job.
But, like, my 30 vacation day. Oh, my bad. I don't want to tell anybody about that. I don't want Patrick Crayton to get mad at me again about my vacation days. Patrick Crayton was getting mad at a lot of people last night.
Oh, man.
Patrick Crayton got mad at Whataburger, but he also got mad at Joe West. Because Joe West is a Hall of Fame nominee. I got to say, like, Joe West... He deserves to be a Hall of
Famer. This fits with playing with the boys because he is Cowboy Joe West.
Cowboy Joe West, that's so true,
Sean. He is the blue cowboy from his 1987 country album.
He's an umpire. He's a country star. He once wore a black armband
in support of solidarity.
And you know what, though? Like, we should have done it, too, because we backed the blue here. Listen, we said it before this week with Scott Foster. Bad refs make sports fun. They make you angry. They make you feel alive inside. So, honestly, like, Joe West is the most deserving Hall of Famer of everybody on that list. Or Lou Piniella, Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella is also pretty deserving, just because...
The times that he argued with Joe West,
he was hilarious. And having them go in together would be hilarious.
That would be awesome. And they have to hold their busts next to
one
another.
I'm sure they have to go to dinner together or something.
It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We wrap things up from East River 9. Come on out and say hi to us with a little garbage time. And Texas fans are big mad about the way they're being treated. Their beloved Texas Longhorns. Should they be? We'll explain why they're mad next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.
Understand. So Pauly G is live today in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at East River 9, located within a mile of downtown. I think it would be a good time to see this abomination in person.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are live at East River 9. Things clearing up a little bit. You can see that beautiful Houston skyline. This is the best view of Houston skyline in the city. A text. This is Marky Mark from Spring. What does Craig Carton going to jail make a difference at all on his take? I totally disagree with him on his take, but his jail stint has nothing to do with it. Okay, well, listen. To all the jailbirds out there, okay? And I'm not implying you are, Marky Mark. Listen, all I'm saying is I think it's crazy that Craig Carton is back at top of Fox Sports 1 when he's not that entertaining. And two, he went to jail for like a year plus.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy that he's back on TV.
He went to jail and his career got better.
Yes. Seriously.
he went from radio to TV after going to jail.
He used to work with Boomer Esiason. So that was, like, I think the biggest reason for his elevated profile. No offense. But, yeah. Craig Carton went to jail for security fraud, fraud, conspiracy to commit those offenses. $4.8 million he defrauded from investors. Like, that's a lot of money. There you go. That's why. That's why. And I think he just got an indefinite suspension and left, like, while he was in jail. He, like, might have gotten another job from jail. So there you go. That's why I brought that up. Anyway, guys, let's talk about something here. Let's talk about the slights against your beloved Texas Longhorns. Now, it all started this offseason. The Big 12 commissioner was essentially begging for Texas Tech to save the conference from the evil exiting Texas Longhorns. And it's continued all year. Now, it's not like Texas hasn't won any of the individual season postseason awards for conference play this year. T'Vondre Sweat is the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. But people are kind of mad that I'm a man, I'm 40. Mike Gundy, in his 19th year at Oklahoma State, even though he lost to Central Florida by 40 points or so, they're mad that he is the Big 12 Coach of the Year, believing that Steve Sarkisian should have won it. I got a question. Like, are you really mad about that? Does it matter? Don't you want to use any stupid motivational slight you possibly can? And I don't know if players are going to be like, we're going to win this one for Sark on Saturday against Oklahoma State. Like, I doubt that any of them give a remote rat's bleep about this. Yeah. But is this really something to get mad about? Like, do you need to have the Big 12 Coach of the Year before your last game ever in the conference and you move to a better conference in the SEC?
Yeah, I think Texas fans are kind of, they're just on one right now. Just the win against Texas Tech, the way it happened. Getting to dunk on Brett Yormark, getting to dunk on Texas Tech. Then you have the outrage of being slotted behind Oregon and Ohio State in the playoff ranking. So there's just a lot of ammunition flying all over the place for the Texas Longhorn fans right now, and specifically Mike Gundy winning it when, like you mentioned, they lost to UCF by 40 3 weeks ago. B, they lost to South Alabama in September. And then you have the guy who took a team that won 5 games his first year, won 8 games his next year, and then now is in the playoff conversation, doesn't win it. Like, normally you win the award if you go from 11, or if you go from 8 to 11 wins.
Counterpoint.
Normally you win the award doing that.
Counterpoint. What if you have better players than everybody else in your conference?
No. Okay.
I mean, he does, right?
But who recruits the better players?
I get that. But Texas
that
is more talented
that
than everybody.
That is part of your job. That is part
right.
of, some would say that is a lot, most of your job.
Well,
should he be
recruiter of the year then? Because recruiting and coaching are totally different things.
But it's,
I get
all
what you're
falls
saying.
Under the same head coach's umbrella.
That's true, but some coaches have a lot of hands in the recruiting side of things, and some are a little more hands-off with it.
Yeah, that is true.
So I guess you're right in that, no doubt. Sarkisian deserves credit for that. At the same time, we're still talking about Texas. It's decided advantage over the majority of schools in the Big 12 just by being Texas.
But where has that gotten them the last 15 years?
I mean, that's fair. And I mean, that's sort of like the same argument that people are going to make for Sean Payton as coach of the year. Like,
He's done a bit better. Actually, Gundy's is a lot like Sean Payton because they're terrible at the start of the year and then good later. At least Sean Payton, this is year one for him, not year 19 for Mike Gundy, where it's like, man, this team was a mess at the beginning of the season. It's like, well, yeah, he was coaching the team at the beginning of the season when it was a mess. They're rotating three quarterbacks, including one of which was his son at quarterback, and they're losing games. Then they stopped doing that and started winning games.
I think this is a pretty good text about the
Coach of the Year.
Yes, about the Coach of the Year award stuff from the 281. Reminds me of Rockets fans getting mad about Harden not winning MVP.
Yeah.
No, we spent way too much time on that. I even got in on it because I was like, well, like, as much as I don't like watching James Harden play, Russell Westbrook's stat whoring
was
way,
crazy.
Way more offensive to basketball.
I will say the James Harden MVP wars has, like, most, I don't care about most, like, individual awards anymore, basically because of the 4 years of the MVP wars with James Harden, now I just, like, I'm happy for T'Vondre Sweat winning Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12. I'm happy that he and Byron Murphy played next to each other on the Texas D line. Byron Murphy won Defensive Lineman of the Year. T'Vondre Sweat won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
I think that's cool and fun. I was just trying to give the argument for Steve Sarkisian. I do not give a rip whatsoever if he wins. Oh, well, after the show, I'll say what I really
I don't give a flip.
I don't give a bleep about
Look at you. Damn, dude. Going bold, Sean Mabes.
I don't care if he wins the Coach of the Year or not. You know what? Mike Gundy can win Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Texas can win the game on Saturday.
Ooh.
I'm happy with that trade. Call me crazy.
I like that, too. Real quick garbage time before we hit the road. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
The kids need to get off their phones. They gotta stop. I'm not just co-signing what UConn basketball coach Dan Hurley said after his Huskies shot 4 of 28 from 3. These guys need to get in the gym, need to get off their phones and get off the video game headset because there were wide open looks. I'm also talking about an example that some are calling yet another moment where the NFL stands for no fun league because they suspended the credentials of the person who gave that camera to Tyreek Hill who took the backflip touchdown celebration. You know what, Sean? You know what?
What?
Number one, he should have tweeted that from the NFL's account.
They did tweet it.
But he tweeted it from his account first, and then they put it from the NFL account. Number two, I'm sorry. I thought you had a job to do. You're on your phone in the middle of an NFL game. You know what? Football's life. A real football guy, he's not looking at his phone during a football game, okay? So this kid on his phone, living in the moment, giving us the equivalent of a, hey, look at me. I'm at a concert on Instagram. Yeah. Doing that, I mean, it's just another example of kids being too obsessed with their cell phones and not living in the moment.
His job was to be a video video guy for the NFL.
Oh, yeah, but he had a camera for that. Why is he using his cell phone? He had a high-powered camera for that.
I don't know.
Yeah, Sean, he should live in the moment. And I sound like a boomer right now, but I'm sorry. Live in the moment. That kid should go to jail, I think. You know, he's taken away. Like, I would never, ever, 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 ever hijack content from the NFL. Never have, never will. Never would do that. That's our league. I stand with the shield.
Yeah, without the written consent of the NFL?
Oh, I wouldn't. I always get the written consent of the NFL. Always.
Has the NFL ever written consent for people to use their stuff?
No.
Has anyone ever done that?
I do think it's pretty simple, though. Like, if he tweeted this from the NFL account, he'd be fine. And now he's trying to turn this into some sob story about him so he can build his brand. F off, kid. Like, Tyreek Hill just took your cell phone. Like, let's stop acting what you did was special. He didn't do that. He took his phone. He took your phone.
I will say, if his job's to make content, he made good content.
Yes, because Tyreek Hill did the content making for him.
Yeah, but he played a part.
He was just there, right place at the right time.
But he, okay. We'll talk about it off
the air. Yeah, we'll talk about it off the air, because coming up next at East River 9, it is Cutter and Beard. Big thanks to everybody who texted it, tweeted it, twitched in, and, of course, to Sean Mapes and B-Mac back at Mission Control. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. We're at Nick's Place tomorrow. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace!
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
Red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.